God is not first after programs. He is first after a relationship.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians can be very active and very empty at the same time.
If what comes out of our ministry isn't closeness to Christ, then we have failed.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The old saying goes, first things first. But today, Dr. Evans says, without the first thing, none of the other things matter. Let's join him as he explains.
A lot of us can rap, but love is more than language. Love is more than sending out the right sounding information. And that's Jesus' concern with his church in Revelation chapter 2. In fact, over the course of Revelations 2 and 3, he speaks to seven churches and gives them seven messages that they need to be aware of. We want to look at one of those churches today, a church where duty had displaced devotion. We're going to look at the destination, the revelation, the commendation, the condemnation, the exhortation, and the motivation. This is a letter written to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. It was given to the angel, the messenger is what that word means, to deliver to the church. Jesus explains what this concept is in the last verse of chapter 1 when he says, "As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." He says, the star is the messenger, the pastor, the one who was to teach or bring the word of God to the congregation. I believe the word messenger here is human messenger and not spirit messenger or angel, in the sense that it had to be written down. It had to be noted. And since the job of the minister is to take that which is revealed, written, and declare it, and since the word messenger can either mean human messenger or divine messenger, I opt for human messenger here, that the role of the pastor teacher was to take the truth of Christ and deliver it to the church. The church is called in the mystery the lampstand. It's called the lampstand because out of the church should exude the life of God. We are the light of the world. It is the job of the church to reflect, demonstrate, magnify, illuminate the life of Christ. He speaks to this church that's located very strategically in Asia. In fact, the city of Ephesus was the capital of the Roman province of Asia Minor. Its strategic ports, its harbor, made it one of the commercial centers of Asia. And the Temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the world, made it one of the key vacation spots. It would be like going to see the Washington Monument or going to see some other great structure that demanded your attention. People from all over the world, the Roman world, would come to Ephesus for either business or pleasure. It was a great economic base given those two realities. Paul had brought the gospel to the city of Ephesus, recorded in Acts 19. And when he brought the gospel, there was an explosion of Christianity. People brought their magic and their books and all their satanic paraphernalia and burnt them in the public square. People stopped shopping at the Temple of Diana, not wanting to support the unrighteousness of a false god, and a riot broke out. So you can see this city is a spotlight city. In fact, when Paul wanted to explain what the church was, he used the church at Ephesus as his starting point. The book of Ephesians is written to that church, to tell them who the people of God are. So to write a letter to the church at Ephesus would be like writing a letter to the church in LA, Dallas, or New York. Strategic center, a major urban environment, and a great influential place. The revelation. These messengers, it says, to the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, to the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. He says, I hold the stars. The one who holds the stars, referring to Jesus Christ, described in graphic detail in chapter 1. He says, I hold the stars. I hold the leaders in my hand. They are the ones who are to be held by me as they lead the church. He says, and I walk among the seven golden lampstands. The lampstand is the church. So I just want you to know this morning, Jesus is in the aisles. He is the risen, glorified Christ. So you can't see him or physically touch him, but he is, in fact, in the house. It says he's moving up and down the aisles to judge his church, because judgment starts in the household of God. He's holding the seven stars. He's moving in the church. And he is not just here doing nothing. He is analyzing the church. And remember, this is written to a specific church. So Jesus is doing this in every so-called church. And what he is doing is determining whether what you talk about is what you really are. He is here validating or invalidating, if you will, our authenticity. How authentic are we as the people of God? He writes them corporately to the church at Ephesus, but he's also not only walking up and down the aisles, he's sitting right next to you, because he says in verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear. So in other words, he's looking at the corporate ministry, the church, and then he's looking at the individual believer, he that has an ear. So there are two levels of analysis going on. Our church corporately and every individual Christian personally. He is testing our authenticity. The destination is the local church. The revelation is the analysis of the eternal Son of God determining whether we are here today for authentic worship. Some of you are perhaps here today because you were coerced to come. Perhaps others of us are here because it's Sunday and that's what you're supposed to do. Perhaps others of us are here in body, but our mind is far away. And so perhaps are our hearts. I want you to know the risen Christ is analyzing all that. He is determining our authenticity. He starts off with a commendation, having given the destination and the revelation. He says in verses 2 and 3, I know your deeds, toil, perseverance. You can't endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Now, isn't this the kind of church you'd want to belong to? I mean, this has got to be the church of what's happening now. I mean, this is a church being praised by the Revelator. They are being praised by Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of the praises and analyze our own selves in light of it. First of all, this was a serving church. He says, I know your deeds. You're a busy congregation. You got a program here and a program there. Here a program, there a program, everywhere a program. He says, boy, you've got a ministry for everything. I know your deeds. It's a hard-working church. This church is strenuous in its service. It has energy. It's not just there marking time. Some churches are like that. You come, you go home, but when you ask about ministry, there is little to show. The needs of people aren't being met. Broken lives aren't being mended. Discipleship isn't the goal. The hungry stay hungry. The thirsty stay thirsty. And the sick stay sick. Stay sick. He says, Ephesian Christians, you're not like that. I know your deeds. And you are a serious church when it comes to service. And I commend you for that. He says, not only are they a serving church, but they were a sacrificing church. He says, I know your toil. That word toil means to serve to the point of exhaustion. You people are tired over there. You're working so hard. You're sacrificing your own convenience to get behind this ministry and make it happen. You're not on the sidelines, you're in the game, and I commend you for that. I know it. Because I'm walking up and down the aisles. And I not only know it as a church, when you print in your bulletin how many things you're involved in, I know every individual who is involved and how much time and energy you've committed to the ministry. I know it. They were also a separated church. Because you cannot endure evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles. They separated from evil doctrine, and they separated from evil people. Verse 6 says, I know this about you. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You feel about evil the way I feel. And you feel about people who do evil things the way I feel about them. You are very discriminating as a church. You all come in with your Bibles under your arms. Church at Ephesus must have been called Ephesus Bible Fellowship. And the Word of God is the standard by which you measure everything. You judge things by Scripture. And you call it what it is. And I commend you for that.
But those commendations are about to stop. And Dr. Evans will tell us that part of the story when he returns in just a moment. First, I want to tell you how you can take the journey of a lifetime without ever leaving home. I'm talking about the exciting book Tony recently released called Experiencing Israel. It's packed with full-color photos that'll take you on a virtual guided tour of the Holy Land with insights from Dr. Evans about the geography, history, and people of the land. This beautiful hardcover book is something you'll want to keep on display, but it's also a tool that'll bring a whole new dimension to your study of God's Word. If you contact us and request it right away, we'll send Experiencing Israel to you as our way of saying thanks for your contribution toward Tony's ministry. Along with it, we'll include all 7 full-length lessons in Tony's current teaching series, Pursuing Christ. This special double offer is only good through Monday, so visit us today at tonyevans.org for all the details. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Tony will come back with more right after this.
Pastors, your church needs you. Week after week, you are needed to inspire, encourage, teach, and lead. It can be exhausting. And Dr. Tony Evans knows that the demand can wear you out. That's why he's created the Kingdom Agenda Pastor Summit. 2 days for you and your wife to connect, relax, and be inspired to continue to do what God has called you to do. Oh, and did I mention there's a special session just for your wife? Register at KAP2020.com.
They were also a suffering church. Verse 3, you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. You have gone through great inconvenience for me. And I commend you for that. This is the kind of church that you want to be a part of. And it would be fine if he just didn't get to verse 4. Because after giving a glowing commendation, he now announces a horrendous condemnation. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. In spite of all of your glory, your greatness, your growth, your size, your programs, there is one thing I found out about this Bible teaching, Bible respecting, Bible programming church, and that is you've left your first love. A man saw a box of dynamite and had danger, explosives inside, dynamite. When the crate was opened, all it had in it was paper. That's what Jesus is saying. You got dynamite on the outside, but you paper thin on the inside. On the outside, you look like spiritual explosives. But on the inside, there is no power. You've got all the right writing, all the right programs, but there's nothing to explode because you've left your first love. What he is saying, listen, church, is that it is possible to be doing all the right things without the right motivation. It is possible to do your duty without having your devotion. Whenever our duty for Christ becomes more important than our devotion to Christ, we become dynamite on the outside, but paper thin on the inside. Amen. The great danger of this church, with all of our programs, which are fine, God commends them for that, is that we lose out on the heart of God. That we lose our passion for Christ in our performance for Christ. Now, anyone who is married understands this. You understand that it is possible to do all the right things, go to work every day, cook and clean and fulfill your technical job description, and yet there be hollow in the relationship. It is possible to cross all your T's and dot all your I's and there still be something missing in the marriage. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, does a diagnosis of the church and finds that while all things look like they're working, there is a coronary problem. There is not the proper flow of love for Jesus Christ. In fact, their activity has replaced their love for Christ. Put it another way, the honeymoon is over. Anybody ever in here knows what it's like to have the honeymoon in? Stop lying. Shame the devil. On most honeymoons, everything revolves around the other person. On the honeymoon, the passion is being with the other person. The honeymoon ends when the other person becomes secondary to the other things. When they become secondary to the career or to the job or even to the kids. I don't know if you knew this or not, but even children are never to interfere with the love relationship between a husband and wife. The thing that marks the passion of a honeymoon is that the person matters more than any of the agenda items. To lose your first love is to relegate Christ to a secondary status to your religious activity, no matter how good they are. And if we as Christians, or we collectively as a church, allow our duty for Christ to replace our love for Christ, he has something against us. Amen. You know why? Because Jesus saved us first for a relationship. Labor is no substitute for Christ. Christ wants our hearts and not just our hands and our heads. We are to never let what we do for Christ be more important than our relationship with Christ. And if we're not cultivating the relationship, if what comes out of our ministry isn't closeness to Christ. If all we get is the proliferation of activity, then we have failed. For God is not first after programs. He is first after a relationship. In everything you do, the motivation must come from a desire to love Christ. That's what he's after. And to the degree that we love Christ is to the degree that there will be meaning in the things we do for Christ.
Dr. Evans has a closing thought to share with us, and he'll come back with that in just a moment. First, to cultivate a deeper passion for God, visit TonyEvans.org and be sure to take advantage of today's special offer. It begins with Tony's current teaching series, Pursuing Christ, a comprehensive look at what it means to develop personal intimacy with Jesus Christ and realize the benefits of a life committed to Him. As I mentioned earlier, we'll send you the full-length versions of all 7 lessons in the Pursuing Christ series and Tony's beautiful new book, Experiencing Israel, as our thank you gift when you make a generous contribution to support Tony's ministry here on the radio and around the world. Monday is the last day you'll be able to receive this special double offer, so visit TonyEvans.org today and get all the details before time runs out. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by 24/7 to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says what we do with Christ is even more important than what we do for Him. On Monday, he'll talk to us about the importance of keeping that love at the top of our priority list. But right now, he wanted to take the last few minutes of our time together this week to share a very personal message.
Hello, friends. I wanted to take a moment to express my gratitude to all of you for your love, your care, your concern, and most importantly, for your prayers. You know, we've come through a very difficult season, myself, our family, with the loss of my wife for 49 and a half years. It is a painful thing to lose someone so close for so long who loved you and whom you have the privilege and honor of loving in return. We don't have all the answers. God hasn't given us all the answers to our why this, why now. You know, I've often said it's, to use the words of the Tale of Two Cities, it's been kind of the best of times and the worst of times. We came out with the study Bible, the Bible commentary, and then in that same season, the great loss. God's ways are past finding out, but he promised us new strength during our struggles. And part of that strength, a lot of that strength, has come from friends like you who have walked with us, prayed with us and for us, who sent encouragement to us. So I just want you to know that when Lois left here, she left here having fought a good fight, having finished the course, and she definitely kept the faith because she kept calling out to Jesus as the calendar began to wind down. And we believe that all of this was possible, and our ability to continue going, me and the kids, we have not grown dim in our faith and our love for the Lord or our desire to minister. And we know that just doesn't come from our grit or determination, but it becomes because we've got wind beneath our wings, and you are that wind beneath our wings. Thank you for your prayers. Continue praying because, you know, there are those moments, there are those seasons, particularly this close to things happening, that you struggle a little bit more than other times. But we know that with God's power and your prayers and our trust in him, that he will accomplish his good purposes even in the midst of our pain. Thank you. And it's nice to know that you're loved, especially when you need it most. We know we're loved because you've helped demonstrate to us by the gracious way you supported us. God bless you. And thank you for your friendship.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.